Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guests are Lindy Graham, LCSW and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, and Celine Crave, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And today we're going to discuss the partnership the two organizations have entered into to remove barriers that employees may traditionally experience when seeking mental health counseling and care. Welcome, Celine and Lindy. I really appreciate both of you being on the show. And Celine, it would be great if you could give a quick introduction of who you are, your role at Allagash, and then I'll turn it over to Lindy to get more information from her. But Celine, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Tani. Thanks for having me on the show. My name is Celine. I've done human resources for many years, over 20 now, and I've worked at Allagash for almost 9 years, and I'm in charge of human resources at Allagash, and that is everything from employee relations to health and wellness and just generally trying to make a really great workplace for all the employees there.
And Celine, most of our listeners, I'm sure, know, but Allagash Brewing Company, I mean, primarily you're a creator of craft beverages, of alcohol, correct?
Yes, that's right. And we have about 145 employees, and most of whom work in Portland at our brewery and warehouse. But we do have a field sales team of 25 people all over the country. We're in 17 states plus DC, and we have sales reps all over.
So definitely a workforce that differs based off of manufacturing, distribution, sales, and throughout the Northeast, but also throughout the country, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. It's almost like running many types of business under one umbrella. So, you know, from our tasting room to our administrative staff, a warehouse, a manufacturing facility, and the field sales team. So lots of different types of employees to think about.
Perfect. Thank you for that background, Celine. I think that's helpful for a lot of our listeners. Lindy, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and what exactly WellSpace at Work is and does?
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. So I have been a therapist in private practice, sort of solo on my own was doing that for about 14 years. And then a handful of years ago now, mostly because I felt as though there was such a barrier to access for treatment. I had so many friends even say, like, who would be a great therapist? And it was always really hard to find people for people because it's kind of a fragmented market. And so I really had the goal to grow the practice, to have more clinicians with a variety of specializations so that we could be a place, obviously not for my friends, but for other people, that we could be a place where people sort of just knew to go to for a variety of therapy needs. So that was sort of, that's what WellSpace Maine is. It's its own practice. And then in response to the pandemic, in response really to Allagash's need, we created WellSpace at Work. And we can talk more about what that is, but essentially it's kind of a therapy access program for employers to provide for their employees, where we contract directly with the employer to provide for the employees therapy voluntarily that is completely confidential and accessible. And right now that's all done through telehealth.
I'm looking forward to us discussing more about exactly how all of that works. And I really appreciate you giving that initial foundational discussion. So now that I know, and our listeners know, I guess, specifically who both of you are, Celine, can you explain to our listeners how Allagash responded once the pandemic hit? What happened to your work environment? We know that every organization had different needs and different ways in which they had to respond as a manufacturer. I'm guessing not everyone went to a remote work environment and you had to keep on producing beer, but how did the pandemic affect how you were operating?
It was a huge changer for really everyone. So initially we really hit the pause button in mid-March and reassessed how best we could continue operations. So essential workers, people that are involved in producing the beer, come into the brewery or the warehouse, but of course we have very extensive safety protocols and physical distancing measures in place. And then anyone who could work at home, so people in administrative functions such as marketing, HR, supply chain, finance, reception, transitioned to working out of their homes. And we provided the equipment to do that. And our field sales team, based in cities like LA, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, they were really seeing the strain of the pandemic even before we were in Maine. And we quickly had them transition to working out of their homes, which was a huge change for people that are normally out and about in the world, calling on different bars and restaurants, having meetings with wholesaler partners, doing exclusively virtual selling was a huge transition. So big lifestyle changes across the board. Which was a big driver for our concern for our employees' mental health. In the past, before the pandemic, when our employees would experience a challenge, it was usually a personal one, perhaps a death in the family, a divorce, a chronic illness, something that would affect one employee, and we would support them and have always tried to really destigmatize mental health issues, normalize it as it's part of being human. Everyone takes a turn struggling. And I would provide, and my team would provide help if need be, finding a therapist. We have mental health coverage on our health insurance plan. What I realized with the pandemic is that many people were going to be experiencing crisis and stress at the same time. And it simply wasn't scalable to have the system be one of us in HR helping each individual find a therapist. I also was fearful that the supply would not be sufficient, that the demand for mental health counseling would exceed the supply of qualified therapists. And so in late June, early July, I talked to Rob Todd, the founder of Allagash, about trying to find a practice with people who have many different types of expertise to partner with so that we knew our employees, if they needed it, could get qualified help quickly and without a cost to them.
Thanks, Celine. I think that's helpful for our listeners to understand. For those of you who are just joining, you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guests are Lindy Graham, LCSW and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, Celine Free, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And today we're discussing the partnership the two organizations have entered into to remove barriers that employees may traditionally experience when seeking mental health counseling and care. Lindy, Celine has described the situation that Allagash experienced, specifically once the pandemic really hit home. Is it your experience that other employers were experiencing similar issues, or was what Allagash was experiencing a one-off event?
Well, it's clear that many employers now are recognizing that the sort of potential fourth wave is an impending kind of mental health crisis feels like a strong word, but it feels as though the demand is so great and the access is challenging. So I think a lot of employers, we have had some, you know, press as a result of our partnership with Allegash. And as a result of that, we have had a lot of inquiries and we have a couple different organizations that are signing up. I'm not quite free to talk about them specifically, but we have a professional service and consulting firm that's going to be joining us starting in a week and a half. And we've heard from a mid-size industrial firm and a large financial services firm as well. So there's definitely a lot of interest, but I think broadly, it's on all employers' minds right now to sort of be identifying not just what the needs are to address employee mental health, but also help them respond to their psychological and well-being needs.
Thanks, Lindy. I think that it's really important for our listeners to understand that it's not just one industry that's facing this, that this is something that you're seeing the need across industries, across locations. And for everyone who's at work and who's been in human resources for any length of time, it's my guess that you've seen a similar need within your organization. Celine, specifically, I mean, despite the fact that people may have seen this need, it sounds like you were pretty proactive as an organization in trying to fix or remedy this problem. Can you tell me a little bit about how the partnership between the two organizations came about?
Sure. You know, I actually did a stint working as an HR director at a clinical agency years ago. So I knew the value of a good therapeutic situation. And I had heard about WellSpace through a friend and thought I would investigate. So I was able to get Lindy's information. And we had a wonderful first discussion about what this could be. She was very open, very creative. You know, I let her know what we were looking for, kind of a combination of educational seminars for people on topics that would appeal to a wide variety of employees, and then individual therapy or couples therapy, depending on what an employee's particular situation was. And, you know, we, as a manufacturer of alcohol, also wanted to be able to provide a resource if someone was questioning their relationship with alcohol. So the practice that Lindy has assembled, WellSpace, there's expertise in many, many different areas. So anxiety is on the rise in the general population, and there are clinicians who can help with anxiety. So that was, you know, a big appeal for us, is the breadth of expertise that WellSpace has.
I think that's a really important thing to know kind of during the course of this discussion. You've mentioned couples therapy, you've mentioned individual anxiety, you've mentioned relationship with substances and alcohol. I think that these are all things that human resources professionals have seen an uptick in during the course of the pandemic. Of course, they were things that employers were dealing with generally. Employees don't just come to work as a clean slate. Everything that's going on in their personal life also affects their ability to accomplish tasks and to work and be productive. I'm really excited to hear more kind of about how this partnership has grown and taken effect. Before that, however, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-4400. 1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
If you're single and not dating on Match, then listen up. Match is not only number one in first dates, but second dates too. In fact, they've surveyed over 5,000 U.S. singles to get the top tips and advice when it comes to dating in 2017. Here we go. You want to impress a first date? Put your phone away. 45% of singles would be turned on if you visibly turned off your phone during a date. This is my issue, but the Mets are on it. It's like the eighth inning, and they're going to the bullpen. Millennials are 270% more likely than other generations to be turned on by someone who is binge-watching the same TV shows like Stranger Things or OA. Singles flirt everywhere, but flirting at the bar, in the laundromat, or at the gym are the most successful. I like to just say, hey, can I fold your clothes? Oh, see, now I get to, I don't know, but I would like to fold your clothes. Dating can be difficult, so if you're not using Match, you're missing out. Start searching and connecting for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com, Match.com, M-A-T-C-H.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guests are Lindy Graham, LCSW and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, and Celine Free, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And today we've been discussing the partnership the two organizations have entered into in hopes of removing barriers that employees may traditionally experience when seeking mental health counseling and care. Prior to the break, we got a sense as to who both of you are as individuals and your background and how the partnership came about and how the discussion and the need was identified specifically by Allagash and then the transitions that WellSpace at Work created. Let's talk about the logistics though, because I think a lot of people who maybe have heard about this partnership or have heard about similar partnerships think that it sounds great in theory, but how does it ultimately work? So Celine, let's, you know, I'm an attorney. We know that I work best using hypothetical scenarios. But let's say I'm an Allagash employee and I need the services that Lindy and her team are offering. How do I go about dealing with that? And I'd like to start kind of, Celine, with you and then find out, you know, how I transition into dealing just with Lindy, if at all.
Sure. So I'll tell you a little bit about the way we set up the program. Is Allagash estimated how much need there would be, and we guessed that 10 hours a week would be what our employee needs might look like throughout fall and winter. And so we pay WellSpace directly based on that hourly estimate. So we write a check every month to WellSpace. WellSpace also does one educational webinar per month for us, which is a topic that we've chosen based on many employees expressing interest in learning more about a particular topic. So that's the way we set it up from the beginning to protect privacy, and we want it to be totally anonymous. There's a phone number that Lindy created only for Allagash employees. So that is posted on our internal website, our intranet, and employees are able to simply call the number, and then Lindy has guaranteed to get back to them within 24 hours, and then typically people are seen within the week. So, and when I say seen, everything is virtual, so it's telehealth, and that makes it accessible for our staff all over the country, which is really nice.
So specifically, it doesn't matter if I'm a salesperson in California or I work on a manufacturing floor in Portland, I will have access to this phone number and be able to virtually see Lindy or another member of her team. Is that correct?
It is. And Lindy does an intake call just to see, you know, what are the concerns, what are the challenges you're facing? And then based on whatever someone is facing, she recommends a clinician who would be most able to help them and sets up the appointment.
So Lindy, let's jump to you. So it sounds like it, you know, if I'm an Allagash employee, the good news is I don't have to share the intimate personal details about why I might be seeking counseling or assistance from your organization. I'm gonna leave a message or talk to someone on this dedicated phone line. What happens once I do that? Walk me through kind of where we go from there.
Yeah, as Celine mentioned, I personally actually manage the Allagash line, and I make sure that I respond to any call within 24 hours. And that call that I then make is really to get a solid sense of what the sort of presenting issue is so that we can really identify which specialist in our practice would be the best fit for the person. I'd say that, you know, the response within 24 hours, I think, is a sort of key differentiator because, you know, what Allagash and WellSpace at Work, what we're doing is eliminating that whole process of getting a list of names and figuring out who has openings and cold calling a bunch of people. When a person's already overwhelmed, that can just be a daunting task. And so to sort of have that number and to know exactly what's happening next is really valuable. So once we determine which clinician is the best fit for them, we schedule them within the week and they begin their therapy. We also provide consultation sessions. So one of the webinars that we did was on parenting school-aged children while also working remotely or not necessarily working remotely too, but what people kind of are faced with under those circumstances. And we have, you know, two parenting support specialists. And so we offer consultations on that topic, for example, so that if a parent says, I'm not sure I totally need ongoing therapy, but I am interested in really brainstorming some solutions or some strategies for a particular challenge with my child, we offer that. So, and we do those consultations on a variety of areas. So not just parenting support.
I think that's helpful for our listeners to understand. And I think something that probably a lot of our listeners are wondering or concerned about is we all know that therapy or seeing someone for mental health is very personal. It's a very intimate part of our lives. What happens if the person you refer me to isn't my person and they're not my provider because I just can't connect with them, or they're telling me something I don't want to hear and I don't feel comfortable with them? Am I up the creek? Is that too bad? I am stuck with them? Or how do you maneuver, if at all, from that type of situation?
I provide the information at that initial phone call when I'm determining which clinician will be the best fit. I let the employee know that if for any reason it doesn't feel like a good fit, they can tell either the clinician themselves or they can reach back out to me and we can adjust accordingly. Now, sometimes what a person is working on in therapy can be so crucial to process through with the person that they are working with, right? Because so much of what happens and what makes relationships or what makes therapy successful is the relationship. And so if it feels after a little bit of time that sort of foundation of the relationship doesn't feel solid, then we absolutely do, you know, offer other alternatives. Additionally, if it turns out that a person started working with someone, let's say it was a couples therapy, and after a session or two, it became clear that it was actually more of a, you know, parenting strategy challenge, then that might be a reason to make an internal switch to say, actually, we have this person who has expertise in this particular area. Maybe we could sort of have a transition to that person. So it's really always about kind of meeting the employee where they are and addressing whatever that particular need is.
Thank you, Lindy. That's helpful to understand. And I definitely think it's something that, you know, a lot of people are concerned about. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guests are Lindy Graham, LCSW and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, and Celine Free, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And we've been discussing the partnership the two organizations have entered into to help remove barriers that employees may traditionally experience in the process of seeking mental health counseling and care. Celine, while I think that what Allagash has done and this partnership is great, and even just hearing about as an employee how I would go about starting the relationship, I think it is something that we don't hear a lot of organizations doing. How did you go about rolling this program out to your employees or communicating how the program would work in such a way that you built trust in your employees so that they knew that it would be confidential and that you as Allagash HR team would not know what was going on in your employees' therapy sessions?
That's a great question, Tawny. And I think this really was kind of the culmination of many years of socializing internally that there is no shame to having mental illness challenges, that just the way if you sprain your ankle, you ought to have someone take a look at it if you're hobbling around, that if you're having some sort of emotional reaction that's holding you back in your life, you ought to seek help for that too. So it's certainly a topic that has been addressed before, but never in such a official way, I would say. So it was more on a case by case. As employees would have things pop up, we would talk about it. We also had educated managers just about the prevalence of mental health in the general population and what it might look like and how to respond when employees had different requests for accommodations. We've worked super hard to build trust just in general around confidentiality when people are sharing personal health matters. So that base was there. The way I rolled this program out, we had a virtual all-staff meeting in September, and we rolled this out, I presented in the context of other, it was like a giant health push. And so mental health was part of it, and then social and emotional health as well. So in addition to the WellSpace partnership, we also have a lot going on with respect to how to keep employees feeling connected during a time where we're pretty isolated. So we launched a virtual How to Get to Know Your Coworker initiative, where you're paired with someone for half an hour a week and you get to chat with them, you get icebreaker questions, and this is all paid time. We're organizing things like a bird walk with our packaging manager, and you can bring your family, a cross-country ski outing with the owner who loves to ski. We put gas fire pits behind the brewery so that people could safely, and we have the 6 feet marked around them so that people could gather outdoors in cold weather and catch up over a shift beer or a non-alcoholic beverage. So it really was presented in a way of, we care about you as people, and we know this is going to be a really challenging fall and winter. So we're going to do more than we've ever done before to try to look after everyone and have a feeling of unity throughout a time where we're so scattered.
Thanks, Celine. I like the fact that it wasn't just a kind of one-off discussion, but that it really was part of a bigger rollout of healthy living. I mean, Lindy, it sounds like Allagash had a very specific kind of idea that was married into a lot of other concepts. In working with other organizations, how have you seen other organizations roll out a program such as this?
Yeah, the amount that we participate in a rollout can vary. So we now have in place kind of a kind of information packet for part of the rollout. And I would say that, you know, in terms of the content of the communication, because while Allagash has done a tremendous job kind of creating a foundation that already has reduced stigma for seeking help for mental health needs, it's still true that sometimes that feels challenging to people.
So that's really helpful, Lindy. So it sounds like to me that it could be that WellSpace at Work can be very intimately involved in rolling it out and discussing it with the employees, or more hands-off and leave that to HR to do that rollout. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And in terms of when we do get involved, as I was saying regarding the stigma, part of what's really important is that the communication, we try to follow the five C's, that it should be clear, concise, comprehensive, compelling, and culturally sensitive. So that feels really important for us. We have the rollout toolkit involves a sample program announcement for the CEO or the head of HR. We have examples of what we can do for the webinar content. We have posters and other printed material, and they reinforce sort of key messages that it's okay to admit that you need some help, that talking with someone can be beneficial. And we really want people to understand that the access is simple, local, because this is the thing, right? We are all remote right now, but it's really appealing for people to know that if they wanted to continue with their therapist, even after the pandemic and we can meet safely again, that they could actually see a person directly in person nearby. So, and most importantly, I would say, is the confidentiality piece, that we're really clear that we don't share any pieces of the information with the employer.
That's really great. Thank you for that. You've been listening to HR Power on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Trust and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's Collision Center.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot. Maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light. Suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
We're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guests are Lindy Graham, LCSW and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, and Celine Free, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. We've spent today's episode discussing the partnership that the two organizations have entered into in hopes of helping to remove barriers that Allagash employees may traditionally experience or generally employees are going to traditionally experience in seeking mental health counseling and care. Prior to the break, we were talking about ways in which the organizations have communicated to employees about the fact that mental health is something that's extremely important to the organization, decreasing the stigma associated with receiving help or asking for help. All of this is really great, Celine. I think one of my concerns is that Allagash might not be a massive, huge company, but it's also not a small organization. And I'm afraid that some of our listeners may think that a program or a practice such as this is outside of its reach. What would you recommend to HR professionals who maybe are in smaller organizations who want to do something like this, but maybe don't have resources in order to support a program like this?
Sure. I think being deliberate about concern for your team's total wellness is a great place to start. And you can create a culture where that when you're not spending money just by being kind. And for example, with someone who isn't feeling well and calls out, rather than indulge kind of eye rolling and, oh, someone said they don't feel well. Well, they looked fine when the next day when they came back. So things like that, where you just shut down that sort of suspicion around health, you know, using language about it's okay. You know, we get it. Everyone has a hard time. Understanding that when someone does come to you and admits, I'm really struggling, that's a pivotal moment. And that's a time where you have a lot of power to make an impression. So you can say to them, thank you so much for being honest with me. I'm sorry things have been so hard. Let's talk about what we can do here. So you just want to do the opposite, really, of shaming anyone who is experiencing mental health stress. With respect to if you don't have a lot of money for a robust benefits program, a really cheap and often overlooked benefit is an EAP, an employee assistance program. They're typically bundled if you get life and disability insurance. Those types of insurance are pennies compared to health insurance and even dental insurance. So it is going to be so surprisingly affordable. You can ask your benefits broker to shop around your census and just give you a sense of what that type of insurance would cost you. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. An EAP plan will provide, you know, often between 2 to 4 visits at no cost to employees and their household members. So there is some sort of, you know, triage kind of mental health counseling at no cost to employees. So that can be a source of comfort. And then I just encourage you to look in your local area. Some cities and states have free kind of psychiatric or other kinds of hotlines that you can call for urgent mental health crises.
Thanks, Celine. I think that's really helpful. And one of the things that I think we need to focus on, or at least make sure is clear, is
Alec Ashton simply jump into this in June of 2020 in an initial discussion about mental health. This is something that the organization had been talking about and supporting employees with, you know, prior even to the pandemic. And the organizations may need to start smaller when they are working on a project like this, because if employees don't feel safe or comfortable having discussions about mental health, I think any discussion or any attempts to discuss lack of stigma or confidentiality may fall on deaf ears if the behavior in the organization has been different up to that point. I mean, one of the other aspects of it, and Lindy, I'd like to turn to you for this question, is Allegash seems to have offered a pretty robust program. Is that all that WellSpace at Work offers? Is it a take it or leave it type process? Or are there different products or services that WellSpace at Work offers to employers different from what the partnership with Allegash has resulted in?
Yeah, as I was listening to Celine, I was thinking about the, you know, smaller employers as well, and thinking, you know, for in an option, I guess I would say an alternative to an EAP, which is something that we offer, is that a company can agree to work with us for just a time limited number of sessions, right? So they could across the board offer, the way an EAP sometimes does, a few sessions that are covered by the employer. And that can kind of put a cap on the expense. And why we are sort of beneficial in that way is because we do accept most health insurance plans. So if a person saw us for their three sessions and said, okay, I would really love to stick with this clinician, because we take most health insurance plans, they can then continue with us and we can be using their insurance benefit for that. So that's one kind of different path that an employer can take. Additionally, you know, the webinars are optional. People can choose not to do the webinars, although that can be a really affordable way to receive some mental health benefit. So they could do either the webinars without the counseling or the counseling without the webinars, and people are choosing different versions of this. But ultimately, we want it to be appropriately scaled, and we're flexible about figuring out how to make that work. And I think it's fun to try and figure out a way to make this really work for all companies. So we're really open to possibilities. So we just want to be really attending to whatever that work culture is at any particular company and work with them to establish what works best.
I really appreciate all of that. And I think one of the aspects of everything you've just described is that idea of providing accessibility to employees generally. I know a lot of people will say, well, I chose my therapist because I like their picture online, or I like their website, or they were the first person I came to, but something about connecting and decreasing the barriers to connecting with a social worker, a therapist, all of these things I think are so important. And if an organization can offer, you know, seminars, webinars, podcasts, any of those things to help employees, it helps to decrease some of those barriers that employees may have in making the first phone call in an attempt to, you know, get help or set up a time to get additional help. Is there concerns that you've heard specifically, Lindy, from employees that they are concerned about confidentiality or checking in to say, like, I'm going to tell you this, but are you going to tell Celine? Or if I tell you this, are you finding that employees are second guessing or checking in as to what information is going to be shared?
We have not found that people have that concern. And I think that has to do with the level of clear communication ahead of time about what to expect and what the limits of confidentiality are. Now, certainly it is true as a therapist that there are certain conditions that require confidentiality to be broken, and that is only when a person has expressed an imminent danger to themselves or others. So barring that, there's no reason for us to share anything ever, and that we're very clear with every client that ever comes to us, whether that's through Allagash or anywhere. So in terms of people being concerned about Allagash, we are very clear from that initial call into that intake session, and anytime if anyone were to express a concern, that we would sort of further clarify that.
Thanks, Lindy. I think that's so important because it is a top of mind for so many employees as well as HR professionals. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today our guests were Lindy Graham, LCSW, and founder of WellSpace Maine and WellSpace at Work, and Celine Free, Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And today we've spent our episode discussing removing barriers for employees to seek mental health counseling and care. You know, one of the things that's at top of mind for me right now, Celine, specifically, is this just a pandemic need, or is this a need that you foresee employers needing to respond to even after the pandemic maybe is behind us or we've returned to a new normal?
Great question, Tawny. I think the need was here pre-pandemic. It's gotten more acute during the pandemic, but I'm really hoping that one of the gifts of the pandemic is that we all drop the facade a little bit and get more comfortable with admitting when we're having a hard time. So I'm hoping that we have a lasting effect in our workplace culture, that people really feel comfortable with getting help whenever they need it. I hope people's stress levels go down as the pandemic subsides, but I hope to continue to provide mental health resources for the long haul.
Thanks, Celine. I think that's really important. And I mean, to piggyback on that and a question directed to you, Lindy, I mean, during the course of our discussion today, you mentioned something along the lines of a fourth wave. What do you mean when you say a fourth wave?
Well, you know, as we've talked about this pandemic, you know, the sort of anticipation of a second wave and a third wave of the actual acuity of the illness itself, you know, I think, and a lot of people think, that there is a coming mental health fourth wave of people struggling. We have a lot of statistics that support that even really after the pandemic is over, we're going to be continuing to struggle with mental health needs. So actually, there's an article, op-ed in the New York Times by Farad Manju called, you know, The Fourth Wave of the Pandemic, and it's about the mental health crisis that might be coming. But I can say that prior to the pandemic, 1 in 12 people were experiencing an episode of depression on average, typically at any given time. And now that's 1 in 4. We also do have adaptive strategies to manage acute stress, but it's been a long time that we've been in the pandemic, and it's really gone from an acute to a chronic stress. And people can't fully begin to recover from a stressor like the pandemic until they feel that they are out of danger. And so once that danger subsides, sometimes that's when more symptoms emerge, because they're sort of like, okay, I'm in safety now, and I can now address the pain that I've been experiencing all of this time. So we anticipate that that will be emerging as time goes on.
I think that's a really important point that you make right now, Lindy, because we may have listeners who are saying this isn't an issue at our organization. We haven't seen any decrease in productivity. No one has come to me to either let me know about a personal issue or a mental health issue. But this understanding that, you know, once our bodies, I don't want to say are out of the fight or flight, but kind of some of this stress is released, that we could see a large wave of people who start experiencing these symptoms is so important. And being proactive and making sure that an organization has in place ways to respond to this is really important. So I appreciate that information. Thank you both so much for your time today and being on the show. I really appreciate both talking to both of you about the partnership that you have created and how it's working so far. So thank you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us, Tani.
To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and tune in for the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Liz Johnston from Verrill. The beginning of the year is a great time to get organized, especially when it comes to your employees' files. But do you know what should be included and where to keep it? While the precise requirements for what documents must be included in the file varies from state to state, there are a few best practices that all employers can institute. First, keep all of an employee's medical information, including FMLA paperwork, in a separate file. Next, make sure that these documents are secured in a way that a limited group of people have access to the documents. The documents can be kept either electronically or in physical files, but the most important thing is that they are secured. Not only will revisiting employee files help avoid any potential issues regarding the release of confidential information, but having organized employee files will save you some hassle if you're later facing a workers' compensation or discrimination claim and need to quickly produce or examine the file. If you are currently maintaining your employees' personnel files and have questions on whether documents should or should not be included in the personnel file, give me or another member of Verrill's employment and labor team a call.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.